From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today as we come to the end of another week of broadcasting here on Let the Bible Speak. We do appreciate you taking the time to be with us. I know I say this from time to time, but I want you to understand that the listeners are really the vital part of the program. We enjoy knowing that the Lord has blessed His Word, saving some, restoring others, encouraging and edifying and strengthening others. So we're glad you're with us. Today we conclude our themes in Titus. We have the last segment of the message from Titus 3, verses 4 through 8. The gospel that shook the world. It's my prayer that the Lord will use it to shake our own hearts and our lives, and to give us a vision and a burden, that we may see in our day a great and a glorious moving of the blessed Spirit of God. May He do it for you and for me, for certainly we live in a day when we urgently need to see God shake men, yea, shake nations, with the power of the gospel of His dear Son. And now, let's turn to the Scriptures for our daily devotional Bible study and our thought for the day. I trust that you will be greatly blessed as we now turn to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5, as we think upon the rigors and rewards of true holiness in our commencing devotional. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. The earnest Christian soul is advancing toward the city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God doesn't lightly use the terms of battle and toil when describing the endeavors required by those engaged in this pilgrimage. The plastic smiles and the tinfoil graces of modern so-called Christianity are far removed from the reality of serving Christ in an untoward or perverse generation, as Acts 2:40 calls it. The appropriation of grace requires us to receive, hide, incline, apply, cry after, lift up the voice, seek and search. This is the language of Proverbs 5, the first four verses. Here is the flurry of activity that marks the truly saved. Such activities, the proof of true grace residing within the heart. We are not inclined by nature towards such pursuits. Before conversion, we ran after the iniquities of this world. But grace has changed all that. Like a newborn lamb instinctively seeking its mother's milk for nourishment, so the soul born again by the power of the Spirit of God and washed in the Savior's blood seeks nourishment from God's ordained means of grace. The chief of these are the Bible, prayer, and the fellowship of fellow believers. What a full-time business being a Christian is, but what gains there are from it. There is preservation from the evil man, as Proverbs 2:12 says, and deliverance from the strange woman, as verse 16 says, metaphors for the sins of the world and the flesh. The treasures of this world bring ultimate sorrow and misery, not fit reward for the efforts required to obtain them. On the other hand, laboring for the treasures of heaven brings no sorrow in its wake. In bending our backs in such labors, we find rest and reap a harvest in time and a harvest in eternity. Our God pays double wages. In time, our ways are guarded, for God preserveth the way of His saints. In eternity, He will embrace and welcome us into heaven with eternal glory. And our thought for the day is from the Puritan Richard Baxter. There is nothing but heaven worth setting our hearts upon. Many of you have taken the opportunity to obtain the various resources that we have made available to you here in Let the Bible Speak, and we hope that these will better equip you to stand for the Lord Jesus and to serve Him. If you're not yet on our mailing list for our quarterly magazine or our monthly Let the Bible Speak devotional tape or CD, a sort of an electronic magazine, we encourage you to rectify that situation and to request these good materials today. In addition, we have a special offer that we think you should hear about. I have been noting for some weeks now that the World Council of Churches held its 7-yearly meeting in Brazil recently, and that the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, a good separatist Bible-believing organization, the General Secretary, Dr. Ralph Colas, went there as a reporter to Brazil, and his report on what was going on at the World Council of Churches makes interesting, indeed startling reading. He lifts the lid on the utter apostasy of the World Council of Churches, and, of course, the National Council of Churches, which has in membership the leading main denominations here in the United States. So if you would like to receive Dr. Colas' report, and we would like you to receive it, then just write or call, let us know, ask for it. We'd be glad to send it to you free of charge. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. And our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. Let me exhort you, if you haven't already done so, to write or call and obtain Ralph Colas's expose of the World Council of Churches and its ecumenical apostasy. We look forward to hearing from you. As we conclude our study of Titus chapter 3 verses 4 through 8 on the subject, the gospel that shook the world, it's appropriate that we recap a little and repeat the teaching of the text on justification, following which we'll note that the fruit of justification is assurance and holiness of life. So for one last time, Titus chapter 3 verses 4 through 8. Verse 7 deals with justification by grace alone. This is a summary statement of the doctrine that Paul fully expounds in Romans. It goes to the heart of man's need that being justified or having been justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Justified by his grace. Here's the answer to the deepest concerns of the souls of man. Renewal and regeneration describe a change in us. But that change cannot take place except on the basis of a change in our standing with God. You see, you cannot be internally cleansed. You cannot be personally purified. Put it bluntly, you cannot be saved unless you are taken from a standing of guilt and condemnation and placed on the standing of acceptance and justification in the sight of God. Now, how can that ever happen? Justification is God's answer. Justification is the act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accounteth us as righteous in his sight, only for or because of the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Having been justified, that's the objective foundation for the subjective change that the Holy Ghost produces within us. You see, we not only need to be washed, we need to be cleared from guilt and condemnation. This is a missing element in the modern gospel. You've heard this modern revamping of the gospel. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Is that the gospel? Is that the gospel? Take your Bible. Have you ever read that in the Bible as the gospel? God wants you to fulfill your potential completely. Is that the gospel? God wants you to be happy. That's the gospel. You've made a mess of your life. You're sad, you're weary, you're defeated, you're addicted, you're this, you're that. God's here to supply the answer. Is that the gospel? Let me tell you, those things touch on realities that God can and does accomplish in the lives of those whom he saves. But you'll notice in every case that I have mentioned, there is no reference to the guilty standing of a sinner under the condemnation of a holy God and his broken law. There is no notion of the truth that Jonathan Edwards so wonderfully highlighted in his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. There is no idea of a sinner going over the great chasm that will drop him into hell with nothing stronger than a spider's web to keep him out of it. But when you see the sinner there,
That's his real need. That's his real need. And until he can be brought from a state of condemnation, being obnoxious to God because of his sin, to a state of justification and acceptance, then he cannot be saved. But the gospel is we're justified by grace. There's grace to deal with guilt. And I would say to you tonight, that's what set Europe free, and it's still what sets men free. If you're laboring under guilt, the answer to guilt is not penance. The answer to guilt is not going overboard trying your best to make up for it. The answer to guilt is grace and the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Flowing out of that in verse 7b, you have the assurance of salvation. The result of justification is that we become heirs. You'll notice this, of the hope, or according to the hope of eternal life. Now, this is one of the big themes that Paul enters into. It's one of the big themes of the Protestant Reformation. The assurance of salvation. In Romans 8, if we're children of God, then we're heirs of God. If we're heirs of God, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If you're justified, you're an heir of God. That's it. Now, the Reformers simply took that at its face value. You believe in Jesus Christ, you're justified. Okay. Faith carries with it its own assurance. That's where they stood. To them, this was the natural product of faith in Christ. I think at times they overstated their position. But I would say this, that if you have a deep and true appreciation of a free justification, it will produce the grace of assurance. A lot of people, you know, are troubled about this matter of the assurance of salvation. And nowadays, the way that preachers deal with this is to get people to examine, did you really believe when you came to Christ? Did you weep? Did you feel? Were you sincere enough? Are you sure you were sincere? Well, now let me put it to you. Let's not play mind games. If you were a lying, deceiving hypocrite when you bowed the knee and prayed to Christ to save you, you knew you were a lying, deceiving hypocrite. Let's not play around with this. And if you were coming to Christ in simple sincerity crying, Lord, save me, I'm perishing, then there's no doubt in any seeing mind, there's no doubt that yes, you were coming to Christ, casting yourself upon him as he's revealed in the gospel. But let me tell you, when you examine that coming, when you examine the prayer you prayed, when you examine how you felt, when you examine the state of your mind, when you examine all about yourself, you are not going to find anything perfect there. You're incapable of perfection. And so it is the craziest thing in the world for a preacher to keep bringing you back to examine how sincere you were, how much you meant it, how deeply you felt it, because there is no assurance to be felt or to be enjoyed as the result of seeing how well you've done. Some Calvinists have carried this in their own way. And they are forever looking at the evidences in the life. Now, I believe, as I'll show you just before I close, that there are proofs and evidences of grace in the life. But if you're depending on the evidences for the assurance of your faith, I tell you, you are constantly going to be in turmoil because nothing you do can live up to the level that you know must exist if you're to be accepted of God. But look away to Christ. Look away to him. How do you run the race that is set before you? Looking unto Jesus. Who is the object of your faith? Jesus is the object of your faith. Get your eyes on him. He is made unto us righteousness. He is our righteousness. He is our merit. We come to God by the very same means that he has entered into heaven. And the more you understand the glorious truth of a free justification, the more you realize that your assurance depends on the perfection of Christ. And now we're on safe ground. I need perfection. I have it in Christ. Assurance flows from an understanding of a free justification. The final great truth is in verse 8, and that's good works as the fruit and proof of our faith. This is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou affirm constantly or strongly, that they which have believed in God might be careful or be forward to maintain good works. You're saved without any works of your own to merit acceptance with God. But listen, having been justified, there's one thing's going to be certain. If you've been justified and brought into a new standing with God, you've been regenerated and washed from your old pollutions, you've been renewed and made a new creature in Christ, there's one thing going to be certain. There's going to be good works as the result. Good works because you're freely saved. Good works because you're regenerated by the sovereign Spirit and justified by sovereign grace. Good works, not the root of your salvation, but the fruit of grace in your life. When Paul preached this, you know, the answer to him was, you're overthrowing all morality. If I'm saved without works, if I don't have to labor to get to heaven, and I'm going to get to heaven without works, then I can live like the devil. Paul said, no, you can't. If you live like the devil, it's because you are like the devil. You're not saved. They said the same thing to the Protestant reformers. You're overthrowing all morality. Can you imagine the Church of Rome lecturing anybody on morality? The most hideous system ever to despoil the face of Europe and the rest of the world. The most immoral, ungodly, filthy thing that the Bible calls the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And she has the audacity to lecture anybody on morality. But they came to the reformers and said, you overthrow all morality. Pope Julius, according to Erasmus' satire, said to Peter when he was asked about family, about his wife and children, he said, children, yes. Wives? No. That's the morality of popery. Luther was overthrowing all morality. No, he wasn't. Let me tell you, and this is just a matter of historical fact, when he preached this, good works did follow. The moral standard was raised. His family became the prototype of the Protestant, Bible-based, Christ-centered family circle. Morality flourished. Godliness spread into every area of life. I want to tell you, when you're saved, you'll be a better employer or employee than you ever were before. You'll be a better husband or a better wife. R.A. Torrey, when he preached on his great evangelistic crusades, had a message in which he dealt with some of these things very simply and very directly, and he made it clear. If your religion doesn't make you a better man, a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother, a better employee, a better whatever, if it doesn't do that, then don't you think for a minute that it's going to bring you to heaven. It won't do it. Good works, the evidence of the inward grace of God. Men and women, this is the gospel that shook the world in Paul's day. This is the gospel that shook the world in Luther's day. This is the gospel that we need to preach today and live today. And thank God it will shake the world in our day.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.